So, Romans chapter 5, and starting to read at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we look at some of these verses, let me pray again, because I'm mindful that I forgot to pray for Jill and the rest of the family at this time. Let's pray. Lord, life in this world can be full of so many challenges. And sickness is certainly something that presents a challenge to us. And Lord, we can be very concerned about members of the family when they become ill. And no doubt that is true as far as Jill and Peter and other members of the family are. That you would minister to them just as they seek to minister to others. Be to them all that they need at this time. And in some way we ask that you would make up the blessing to Peter, who would have been here to share with us. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this passage mentions the word hope. And I'm sure you will agree with me that hope is a wonderful thing. Hope is something that keeps us going. It excites us. It fills us with anticipation. At the end of this evening, I hope to get into a nice warm bed and pick up a good book and read it for a little while before I go to sleep. But without hope, we can so easily despair. Without hope, we can become sad and even depressed. Without hope, we are likely to lock ourselves in a dark room and wish away our lives. Hope, then, is a wonderful thing. And I want to spend a few moments this evening thinking about our Christian hope and the ground upon which it rests. What, then, is our Christian hope? Well, I want to say three things. And the first thing that I want to say is that it is a fruit of our justification. There are other fruits that we could talk about, and we will note even this evening. But the Christian hope is a fruit of our justification. In Romans chapter 4, Paul has been speaking about the justification of sinners, or the ungodly. And now in these early verses, in Romans chapter 5, he speaks about some of the fruits of justification. Firstly, peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have been pardoned, because we have been declared righteous in God's sight, we have been reconciled to God. We find ourselves in a position where we are at one with God, whereby we are friends with God. Firstly, peace with God. Secondly, as a result of our justification, we find ourselves standing
in grace. This is the way Paul puts it in verse 2. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. As believers, we stand in the sphere or the realm of grace. It's not a realm that we can fall in and out of. A little bit like someone might fall in and out of favor with an earthly king. No, we stand in this sphere of God's gracious acceptance, and that will always be the case. The third fruit of justification that Paul mentions is the hope of the glory of God. There at the end, I think, of verse 2. Yes, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Don't want to say anything about that now, because this is really what we're focusing on this evening for a little while. I'll say more about this in a moment. The fourth fruit of justification is found in verses 3 and 4. And I've entitled it Purposeful Suffering. When Paul here speaks about suffering, he's referring to the kind of tribulations that we face as Christians. Yes, and we recognize this, God allows us as Christians to suffer, but there is a good purpose, a righteous purpose in him allowing it. He has a sanctifying purpose in allowing it. You see, those whom God justifies, he also sanctifies. Let me read verses 3 and 4. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Why on earth will we do that? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So then, here are a number of the fruits of justification. And one of them is our Christian hope. The hope of the glory of God. So let me ask the question that I asked at the beginning. What is our Christian hope? Firstly, it's a fruit of justification. But secondly, it's the hope of the glory of God, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But what is this exactly? Well, it involves, I would suggest to you, three things. Firstly, seeing God's glory or his radiant splendor fully displayed. The Bible says, doesn't it, that Jesus is going to come again in power and glory, and that we shall see him and gaze upon his glory forever. When Jesus came 2,000 or so years ago, his glory was veiled in human flesh. But when Jesus comes for the second time, his glory will be on full display. This is what Paul writes in the New Testament. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What is our Christian hope? It's the hope of the glory of God. What does this involve? Firstly, seeing God's glory. Secondly, being changed into God's glory. You see, when we see him, we shall become like him. And in this way, God will be glorified in us. Now, in this present world, we fall short, don't we, of the glory of God. We know the verse all too well. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. there is coming a day when we shall be changed. It will happen in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall share in his glory forever. The Apostle John writes in his first epistle, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What is our Christian hope? It's the hope of the glory of God. What does that involve? It involves seeing God's glory. It involves being changed into God's glory. Thirdly, it involves seeing God's creation suffused with his glory. In other words, it involves seeing his glory spread throughout the whole of the earth. This is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." There's coming a day, isn't there, when the whole earth will be filled with his glory. And we will see it. And we will enjoy it forever. This is our hope. This is the hope of justified believers. What is our Christian hope? Well, it's the fruit of justification. It's the hope of the glory of God. And thirdly and lastly and incredibly briefly, it's a joyful hope. Verse 5. I beg your pardon. Verse 2. "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." I mentioned this morning that my nan died just before Christmas. And my aunt died a little bit before her. We've already had the Thanksgiving service for my aunt. We're hoping to have the Thanksgiving service for my nan. I think it's on the 11th of January. Joanne's nodding, so I must have got it right. Both ladies were Christians. And so they had this wonderful hope that Paul speaks about here in this chapter. And they rejoiced in this hope. And we rejoiced with them. And we, as a Christian family, continue to rejoice in this hope. This is something that we as Christians should continually rejoice in. But let me ask a question. How can we be sure of this hope? Joanne was hoping to see her mum and dad over the new year. But it didn't work out because her mum was unwell. We're hoping to pick them up later on in the week and have a meal together then. I was hoping for some gold bars for Christmas. Not the sort that you would find locked away in Fort Knox, but the little biscuits, the ones that are covered in the caramel chocolate. They're absolutely superb. But I was told that there weren't any to be found in the shops. And I was most disappointed because I get gold bars every year for Christmas. Sometimes our hopes are dashed. So can we be sure of this hope? Well, the answer is, of course, yes, we can. It's a certain hope. Why can we be so sure about this hope? Because it is grounded on, or it rests upon, the steadfast love of God. Listen to what John Stott writes. And I've taken this out of his commentary on Romans. He says this: "What is the ultimate ground on which our Christian hope rests, our hope of glory? It is the steadfast love of God. The reason our hope will never let us down is that God will never let us down. His love will never give us up. Isn't that lovely? His love will never give us up. And we know something, don't we, as believers, of the love of God? We know something of it because God has poured his love into our hearts by his Spirit. I'm sure we know this love in our hearts in different measures. No doubt we cry out as Christians that we might know this love more and more. But we know it, don't we, in some measure? Look at what Paul writes in verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. We also know something of the love of God because we've seen it so wonderfully displayed at the cross. Our eyes have been opened to see and understand the significance of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when we think about the cross and the love of God, we are surely amazed by it. At the cross, we see God giving himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. At the cross, we see the blood of Jesus shed. We see our Saviour die. At the cross, we recognize that God did a saving work for us. Undeserving sinners. Look at the way we're described in some of these verses in chapter 5. Verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died. Jesus died knowing that we would be powerless, unable to save ourselves. Again, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And then look down to verse 10, into the word enemies. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? There was a time in our lives when God was our enemy and we were hostile to him. There was a time in our lives when we were God's enemy and he was in holy opposition to us. But God sent his Son into the world to die upon a cross in order to save us from hell and reconcile us to himself. The cross is the clearest demonstration of the love of God to us. So we have this hope as Christians, the hope of the glory of God, which we rejoice in. And it is a hope that is grounded on the love of God, a love so clearly and wonderfully demonstrated at the cross. And of course, it is the love of God, so clearly and wonderfully demonstrated at the cross, that we remember tonight as we sit around the table of the Lord. And that's something that I want us to do in just a moment or two. But firstly, can we stand and sing? There is a hope. The words will appear on the screen in front of you. It's not in the hymn book, but there is